Good evening. Welcome to the show. This is the best in paranormal talk radio. Darkness Radio is on the air. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Along with me, Tim Dennis. Good evening, Tim.
Evening, sir.
How are you this evening, sir?
Very well.
Are you ready? Do you have your hunting gear on? Because we're going to the Dead Realm tonight.
I wore blaze orange. Is that correct?
No.
No?
Dead Realm is definitely more
camo?
Of a, yeah, black and like purple camo.
Oh, boy, am I going to stick out.
Because we're very prince-like here in Minnesota.
Oh, good.
Black and purple camo.
Yeah.
Because where else are you going to hunt? The Dead Realm in blaze orange?
Well.
That's when you go to the Hell Realm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So you want to blend in.
Oh, I'm ill-suited for tonight, then.
You are.
Yeah.
No surprise there. Come on now.
Sorry.
We're going to talk about communicating with the other side. Some new technologies, some new beliefs, and new theories in making communication, Tim. Are you ready for that?
I'm ready for that, yeah.
Well, you know what I'm ready to do?
What's that?
We're coming up on, a long weekend.
Yes, it is for you.
I'm going away for Super Bowl.
For you, a long weekend, yes.
I leave Saturday morning. I'm back Tuesday afternoon. So I get a nice 3-day vacay, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm in the mood to give some stuff away.
Oh, Dave.
You know why, Tim?
Oh, Dave.
Because I love these people.
You love these people too much, Dave!
You can never love people too much,
Tim. Oh, you love them too
much. We've had this conversation.
I know we have.
Here's what I want to do.
Okay.
I want to give some stuff away.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I want to give away a DVD Blu-ray combo pack.
Okay.
Here's what you need to do to make that happen. You got to give us a call at 651-989-5855 and tell them what they'll win, Tim.
They will win a copy of Riddick on Blu-ray DVD, The Director's Cut, Dave. Global action superstar Vin Diesel reprises his breakthrough role in Riddick, the much-anticipated new chapter in the epic adventures of the most wanted man in the universe. You can't have one in the last 30 days. Promotions will mail you out that Blu-ray, and Dave will tell you which number you have to be in order to win that Blu-ray.
Let's do this. Let's take callers. I'm going to flush them out real quick so that,
everybody
gets a chance.
Yep.
I'm gonna make it callers number... Let's go number 3 and 6 tonight, Tim.
Okay.
For this one. We've got 4 copies. We'll give away 2 copies now, 2 copies in the 3rd hour, and in the 2nd hour, I've got some run of engagement passes because I love these people. I want them to go see I, Frankenstein.
Are you sure it's not Frankenstein?
I thought this was the more artsy version.
Oh. Well,
I, Frankenstein.
Hmm.
So we're going to give you a run of engagement passes to go see I, Frankenstein. I liked it. I enjoyed it. Yeah. I'm still giving it a three-star giddy up.
There you go.
So I'm going to give away free passes for the run of engagement here in Minnesota.
You're too kind.
Well, you got to do what you got to do to make people love you, Tim. And I'm not opposed to buying people's love.
We'll buy away.
So let's do it right now. We're going to open up phone lines 651-989-5855. 651-989-5855. We'll start the love. We'll take your calls and we'll come right back and get into the show with our special guests this evening as we talk about Hunting the Dead Realm and Ouija 2.0 with Shankar Singham and Karen A. Dullman right here on the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio. Welcome back to the show. This is the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio, and I'm your host, Dave Schrader. This evening, we're going to have a little fun communicating with the other side, bridging that gap. Of course, if we want to do this and we want to do it right, we want to go to one of the people we respect most in the field. So, ladies and gentlemen, joining us once again in the darkness on the edge of town, paranormal radio show, our lovely friend, Karen A. Dullman. Karen received her BA and MA degrees from the University of New Mexico. She began her professional career as an art psychotherapist, licensed counselor, hypnotherapist, and artist back in 1989. Currently, Karen continues to creatively diversify her interests with new frontiers and challenges herself to express further potentials via her understandings and practices of what she writes about. Her 2 books, Spirits of the Ouija and The Spirit of Creativity, both out and available, and we've got specials for our listeners because I just love these people so much, and so does Karen A. Dullman. So we're going to be offering up some specials on her books as the show progresses. Karen, welcome back to the show.
Good evening, Dave and Tim. How are you guys doing?
We are doing excellent. Thank you very much for coming back and hanging with us this evening.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be a part of your group.
Well, this is kind of neat. You know, we get a chance after having done a couple of episodes here and there together. And when people reach out to me and they've got new technology, especially with trying to find ways to harness work with the Ouija board, I tend to throw them your way and Bob Murch's way to give you guys a chance to broaden your horizons.
Exactly. And that's what you did. That's how Sean Carr and I hooked up in his group, because you gave me an email.
Right. Now, I want to kind of talk a little bit again for people that are relatively new to the show or have horrible memories like I do. A little bit of background on yourself and your work with the Ouija board. How long have you been communicating with the other side?
Yeah, that's a good place to start. I've been working on the Ouija board for a little over 40 years now. It's actually about 41 years. And I've just been using it for such a long time over those many decades that it's just become more natural for me to use it. And over the years, I crafted certain techniques and ways to use it that help me have really good, great communication where it comes through intelligently, clearly, legibly. So I wrote this second book of mine, The Spirits of Ouija, to help dispel the bad negativeness of the Ouija, but also to help people understand, if they're interested in this tool, on how to use it so they can use it for spiritual growth, personal development, evolution of the soul. And I want to say, Dave, as you know, but I want to let your listeners know who aren't familiar with all my work, is that the only way I use Ouija is for those purposes. Now, I do speak to dead or deceased beings, and I always have, but that's not my goal. My goal is really to speak with the energies and consciousness that are there to help us. Although a lot of times people come to me in my open message circles where they really need closure, maybe from a past a loss of a loved one. And what happens is they bring them with them to the session, and so the dead people do still come through and speak. But it's always on the level of what's it going to do to help that person in their life? You know, life is hard enough, so it's nice to get some good messages that kind of help make life a little more smoother for us. So my background has always been very therapeutic in terms of everything I write about, everything I do, and I'm not surprised that when I use the Ouija board, it comes out that way too. And then I know it's because of my intentions. So when I hooked up with Sean Carr and their group, you know, they've been doing a lot of work with EVPs, and they're actually a paranormal investigation team. And I was very intrigued by that because I'm old school Ouija. I just use it manually with my hands. I haven't been recording EVPs or any of those other types of things that paranormal investigators are known for. So they have that technology and paired that with the Ouija, and that really intrigued me. And plus their passion and respect for using the Ouija board as I do. Respect the Ouija board too.
Are you finding people are starting to loosen up about the use of Ouija board, and especially with trying to communicate with loved ones in the other side? Or is there still a lot of trepidation and fear that seems to be surrounding this?
I think there's a loosening up in terms of talking about it. Maybe not necessarily agreeing with it or using it, but at least talking about it. You hear a lot more talk about it these days. But I still think there's a lot of trepidation and fear. And that, I think that's always going to surround the board, unfortunately. A lot of people don't understand its origination. A lot of people don't understand how to use it correctly. Most people use it when they were young, and it was a parlor game. It was a game, a trick game. It wasn't used as a parlor game. That's back in the 20s. But people use it as a toy, and they scared themselves by doing that. And then you see Hollywood. So I think we're always going to have that little ominous kind of air or atmosphere around the board, unfortunately. So whatever I could do to dispel that myth, at least let people know there's another way to approach this tool, then I'm going to share that. It's just education, basically.
Do people come to you for trying to make communication with loved ones to get that closure, or do they just allow you to get the message without them actually touching the board or being a part of that communication?
They do come to me for that reason, and a lot of them don't even touch the board. And in fact, a lot of them don't want to. But they're very open after they've heard what I read about, or I know the person, or somebody knows the person that knows me, and they're willing to come, and they want to come for that reason. And I always have a conversation before we even start with anybody that comes to my circles to explain, you know, what I think I'm doing, and to explain, you know, where they are with it. You know, let's talk about where they are, how they feel about it, and look at any fears they might have. And fears are good, because, you know, in this case, because it causes a skepticism, and it causes an objectivity, and we need to have objectivity when we use any kind of tool going into the other realms, because we don't have the answers. And so we should all really be open and just kind of progress with it. Open in terms of learning about it, but not really open to maybe using it. So people that come to me don't always, and I would say probably 85-90% do not put their hands on the board. And I'm at the place where I work with just a few people now that use it the same way I do, and I don't usually do it with a lot of different partners, the board, because I just find that it doesn't work as well. The conversations are unintelligent. It's like gibberish. It just takes a long time to develop those connections. And so I'm more hesitant to do that, because then it's kind of wasting everybody's time.
So you're more of a monogamous board runner?
I'm a monogamous board user.
Yeah.
Very well said.
Well, yeah, I would guess. It's like anything. When you get in sync with someone, you know, and you try to make connections, it's in a sense, it would be almost like you have a cell phone, I have a walkie-talkie, and we're both trying to communicate to each other with those. If we're not in sync and using the same tools and kind of in the same line of communication, it's going to be harder for us to communicate with some other realm, whether it's aliens, alternate universes, or the spirit realm.
Absolutely. Yeah, and, you know, the exercise I do, the breathing, there's a prayer incantation I do. There's also another method I use, and I've taught Sean Carr's group how to do some of these things, and it's really improved their communications. And those things itself create this, like, I call it a circuitry, and the circuitry between the two people. So one of the things I really recommended Sean Carr's group to do, because there's a lot of people in their group, was to really split up into pairs and make up that person your partner, so you start developing that consistency of communication through the portal. And once they started doing that, they're having some really incredible results. And that's always been my mode of operandi too, is have that monogamous person to do it with, and not just jump around with all these different people. It just doesn't work.
So did you hear that, Tim? Don't be a Ouija board whore. Just stick to one partner on the board.
Really?
That's Tim's problem. He's willing to put his fingers on anybody's planchet, Karen.
I can't trust
the guy.
The more touchy-feely, the better, isn't it?
I guess. Now, let me ask you. I want to be sincere about this. No, Karen. In all honesty, you've done this for over 30 years.
Oh, okay. We're going back in time. That's fine.
Well, you know, you don't look like you could have been doing this for 40 years unless you started at the age of one. So,
thank you.
This is where I get a little perplexed. At this point, can't you just push the board away and make communication with the other side without it? I mean,
I do.
Okay,
you do.
Because I was going to say, you know, I know tarot readers, people that roll the bones and can read that, read tea leaves, palms. A lot of that is more of having a crutch to help them pass the message along, and that they don't really even need the tool anymore to do this. Are you in that vein, where you can just do this without it?
And in fact, they told me, when I say they, I'm talking about my spirit friends, and I'll use the word they or spirit friends interchangeably tonight as we speak. They told me that I didn't need this tool many years ago, and they said you need to go more into the feeling centers of the body to have this work happen. And as I started working more internally with myself in terms of other spiritual practices I keep, that allowed me to go more into my feeling centers. And that's one of the things I wanted to incorporate back into the Ouija board, was really being in the heart center. And once I started doing that, the messages came through on just another level, where, like I said, I speak mostly to ethereal beings and angels and guides, and I don't speak to dead people unless somebody needs closure. So I don't need the board. In fact, what I typically will do is I will use journaling, and they come right through me. I can hear them. They come to my dreams as well. So it's happening more and more as I progress with this tool, and it's been happening more and more over the years. But I'm at a point where I do not need the board, but I still use the board as a teaching tool. And as a way, again, I think we just gotten a really bad rap, and I really appreciate this tool. Like, I appreciate Tarot and the I Ching. I mean, I throw the I Ching, and I do the Tarot as well. And I appreciate both those tools. So I'm going to, you know, speak out about it, educate.
Understandable, but again, with this kind of weird stigma about it, it would almost seem to me like people would be a little bit more accepting of the messages if you left the whole Ouija board aspect out.
See, I find that so strange, and I was thinking about that today, Dave, and it's funny that you brought that up, because it's so strange when people say, oh, I'll go to a psychic or medium and let them just talk to me out of thin air, and I'm thinking, what's the difference between what I'm doing with the board? It's just take a little bit longer to spell, although I work the board very, very quickly. I know Sean Carr can attest to that when he gets on, but because he's, you know, a lot of people don't see me use the board, but he has. But I don't get the difference because I'm talking to spirits exactly the same as they are. And so what makes it feel like they're doing something more real than I'm doing or better? I just think it's all just different. See what I'm saying? Just a different level of communication. Because I've had such good success and because it's a tool I find that people can more readily use, then they can go back and start developing themselves. So people would say, that sounds backwards. Well, what I find is most people don't know, take the time to develop themselves spiritually or even emotionally or in the heart center. That requires a lot of time. This is a quicker way to get there if you work with it under the auspices of talking to your guides who want to help you, because they will push you in that direction. Trust me, they've been pushing me there for quite a few years now, and I'm finally taking that leap to do it, you know, on my own. But see, I don't see the difference between a medium and myself. I really don't.
All right. Well, our guest joining us now, Shankar Singham, has written the book Haunting the Dead Realm, A Testimony and Guide to Capturing the Other Side. He's a pastor, writer, and musician, and he introduces a universe existing within this reality. Hunting the Dead Realm takes the reader to a cold, dark, wet dimension parallel to our own. A low-energy dimension exists, and our minds and technology are the ultimate tools to unlock the communication. Joining us for the first time in the darkness on the edge of town, Mr. Shankar Singham. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Dave. How are you doing? Hello, Tim.
We're doing great. Yeah, thank you very much for being here with us. And Shankar, now, do you have somebody else with you online there?
Yeah, I've got my partner that's been with the group since the beginning. His name is Kerry. Hi.
Kerry? Kerry, well, welcome to the show, and thank you for joining us, too. Now, all right, I know I'll get the questions. Pastor, writer, musician, are you a pastor in any kind of specific religious belief system or kind of a Unitarian? Where do you kind of stand in that?
Well, I actually became a pastor back in 2006 to marry some of my friends, and I've just renewed my certification and license with the state year after year. Every couple of years I renew it, and I just have, you know, friends that want me to marry them, so I became a pastor. And in no way is it, you know, I'm not, like, exercising any...
All right, well, that's good. It's clarification-wise, I want to know if we're talking about a theological pastor or, you know, an internet-savvy pastor that's given the right to kind of marry people that way. The reason I ask is I know people are going to want to know the belief system behind what you're doing and how this awakening and opening came to you for having communication. Maybe start, Shankar, in this... moment here, kind of explain to us a little bit about your background and what brought you into the world of the paranormal.
Well, I actually got into this like about 90% of the other paranormal groups out there, just, you know, watching the shows and had a personal experience in my past. And after the shows came about, I took a recorder, a dictaphone out to my buddy's house who said it was haunted. And lo and behold, in my first recording, I got a Class A EVP. And at that instant, I was just hooked. And that was about, you know, 3 years ago. And ever since then, I've just been continuing on this mission. And I met Kerry about a year later, and he was all into it. And we've just been investigating, hunting, going to people's houses and growing on it. And we kind of realized after a while that, you know, doing what everybody else does is like trying to catch a car accident on camera at the time it happens. You're going to catch a ghost. You kind of have to be at the right place and the right time. And so we started figuring out that, you know, there's got to be a better way where we can actually get them to come to us. And so we started researching it a little more, and I started getting into multidimensional theories, multiverse. It's a theory that's put out by the top brains of our time right now. And I figured that spirits, once they leave the body, they have to go to another space and time that's coexisting in this realm as well. And which is why we can sometimes see them. So I figured that, you know, communicating with them shouldn't be too hard if we can just break that communicational barrier. And so I had a look at the past and what worked in the past, and Ouija seem to just meld right into it. It's ancient. It's been along for a long time. And so I wanted to try to somehow, you know, meld Ouija with what today's technology is, with EVP and video and IR cams. So we kind of came up with this spirit communication station, Ouija 2.0, and it's got a built-in K2 in it.
Well, hold on. Before we get too much into that, I want to learn a little bit more about you guys and about this before we delve right into the Ouija 2.0 and the communication. I mean, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, though, you know, the main question everybody's hitting me up with is, how did you come upon the realization that this coexisting reality is a cold, dark, wet place? And especially the use of wet in the dimension has people's minds a little perplexed. So let's find out when we return. And we have a special for our listeners this evening that are tuned in. This will go for 24 hours. So for those of you catching this on podcast, the lovely Karen Dahlman says she's got a spirit special offered for our listeners for 24 hours from the start of tonight's show. It's 25% discount on purchases of either of her books or both of them. You can buy them right at her website. The books come autographed, no special code needed, and the prices have already been discounted on the website and will stay that way for 24 hours. So just visit KarenADahlman.com. That's KarenADahlman, KarenADahlman.com. Order your books and you'll save 25% off of The Spirits of Ouija and have that available for yourself. Also, The Spirits of Creativity. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got more of the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio. To the show. This is Darkness Radio, your home for the best in paranormal talk radio, five nights a week, Monday through Friday. And tomorrow, Tim, we're going to outer realms.
Outer
realms? Mysterious planets, aliens, UFOs, alternate dimensions. So make sure you're dressed for it this time, all right?
And what
no, you
wear?
Can't borrow my sun lotion.
No?
No. Tonight, hunting the dead realm. And Ouija 2.0 with our guests, Shankar Singham, Karen A. Dahlman, and Carrie. Carrie, I'm sorry, I don't know your last name.
Isaacs,
welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us, everyone. Now, this other realm that you describe in your book, Shankar, can you please explain to us a little bit about how you came to understand this as a cold, dark, wet dimension parallel to our own?
Certainly. When we first built the station, the Ouija 2.0, we were only getting yes or no answers because we had no idea how to get better answers than that because we hadn't met Karen yet. And so we would ask a spirit that came through. His name was Z. He comes through to this day. And we kept asking him, how do you see us? What's it like over there? And through these series of questions, he told us it's cold, it's dark, it's wet. He sees us as little beings of light, and he sees the planchette as light. And we asked him how it is on that spirit world, and, you know, through these yes or no questions, and he would spell out answers sometimes, but they never made any sense because, like I said, we never met Karen yet. And we asked him a bunch of questions like, you know, how fast can you travel? They can travel at the speed of thought. I mean, if you think of your house, they could be there in that split second. It's truly amazing the answers that he gave. And so that's how I got cold, dark, and wet.
Karen, you hear something like that and an announcement that this is the type of reality just off of us. from your understanding and doing this for so many years and making communication with the other side, did this ring true with you, or did it seem too out there to fall into the same category of what you believe you'd been contacting?
Well, I will say this. I definitely agree with the multiverse, the multiverse levels of realms and of consciousness. And what I've learned over the years is different progressions you might go through. So when a person dies, there's a personality that can still be kind of stuck around, and it doesn't necessarily mean it's bad, it's evil. It just means it's going to see and experience what it remembered in its own life. So if you get so when you pass over and there's somebody that's like maybe a little more negative than their personality, they're just kind of maybe negative people all the time, just a bad attitude, they're going to tend to get that experience when they first pass over. And what happens is they stay in that area, that realm, until they look up to the light or ask for help. The spirit beings are all there. They're there to help you, but they can't help unless you ask. So I feel like sometimes when you first start using the board, and I went through all this myself many, many, many years ago, you meet some other of the spirits. I would just say more earthbound personality spirits. I'm not going to say wanted to say lower, but lower would be a wrong word to use because it's not good or bad. It's not right or wrong. It's really just the level of dimension of where they are. And as they start evolving on the other side, because you never stop growing. In fact, you never die. You just start a new living chapter elsewhere. And when you start that new living chapter of the next life, whatever you want to call it, you start to shift. And so, yeah, I agree that he might experience that, and that's what this entity is giving him. But I can tell you, as they begin progressing more and more with the board, and as this character they talk to progresses more with the communication and the light of the planchette and the light of other beings on the other side, it will also evolve.
So have you heard from the other side, Karen? How do they see you when you're doing this work?
They see me as a light as well. They see a light. I've had this many, many times told me from lost spirits. They'll say, there's a light. Okay, I'll tell you, there's some funny stories, but overall, they said they see a light. They see a light as planchette, the portal, basically. My hands, my partner's hands, the circuitry create the intentions, the vibration of our intentions goes through to them, reaches out, and they come back through, and they see it as a light. When they see a light, it's like moth to a candle, moth to the flame. They want to go to the curious. And it's also warm. And they see that if they're earthbound. Now, if they're ethereal beings, they tend to see you differently. They always see everybody's light. They even see the earthbound spirit's light. They see the light within, is what they tell me. And so a lot of times they'll tell me, they'll say, oh, you guys are like angels. I'm like, I'm not an angel. But they'll say that because they see that we're lit up. But anybody in the room with me that just comes for questions and they want answers or clarity or guidance, they're also angels. You see, so what the spirits do, they always see us, our true light within. It's kind of a beautiful metaphor.
Dave, if I could just cut in right there. You know, I got to agree with Karen when, you know, we're talking about a multiverse, and the theory is it's infinite. There's an infinite amount of universes out there. So there's so many different levels for them to be on that they could possibly jump from level to level to level. So it could be cold and dark, wet. And as they try to move towards the light, I think it tends to get a little bit better and a little bit warmer. Maybe they can see a little bit more. We want to discover that, and that's why me and Karen are, you know, we're trying to get together and try to learn more about how spirit progression and how things grow, how they grow.
But Karen, working in a higher elevation and the level that you've brought yourself to over the years that you've done this work, and you hear this, as he's relaying it, a low-level energy off to the side, is that something that you get worried about trying to communicate through, since you've already kind of progressed into a higher elevation level?
No, absolutely not. And just even saying the word higher, I want to let your listeners think that that's better. I'm not afraid of being in the trenches. And this is why I think I'm really good at using this tool. And my spirit guides are not afraid to be in the trenches. When I say trenches, I mean, you know, other areas of existence. Because you can jump between, and there are many different levels, and they go all within, all, between them all and amongst them all. And they exist. Some of them exist within many at the same time. It's just fathomable how far this stuff goes. But that'll be Ouija book. My Ouija book probably part two. But
Let me go back to one thing then, just out of curiosity. Karen, we've spoken about the fact that you've communicated with children still in the womb.
Yes.
You've communicated with coma patients and with handicapped individuals that are unable to communicate on their own. And I'm just curious, when you hear this kind of communication, could there be something to the fact that maybe this character that he's communicating with, and the reason that it's lower level, closer to our reality, in a cold, wet, dark space, could this possibly be an unborn child, an energy of that status that may be communicating from within an amniotic sac or, internal from somewhere, and that's their perception of the universe at this point?
That's a great question. You know, I haven't pursued it enough with them, this character of theirs. We're going to be working with that a little bit more as we start opening up and progressing with this character to find out what it's all about, because it tends to want to speak to them a lot on their board. I want to go back and say, no, I'm not afraid of any of those things, and neither should they be. It's not evil. It's not this is evil. It's just that, it's having a hard time communicating. When they first start out, they don't know how to spell. And the problem that beginners have run into when they do the board is they just ask yes and no questions. You really have to take time and patience and perseverance over and over and over again, many months of the planchette under your fingers, to really get that established communication where they learn to spell. This is a whole new world for them. I could probably use the Ouija board. Who knows? Maybe I couldn't. But a lot of these don't know what it is. They don't even know the letters are. So I like, my guides do too. They like helping out others that are stuck on the other side, or I'm not saying this guy's stuck, or others that are on different realms that might not see the light. What we do is we go in there and we kind of do a spirit release, if you will. We help them find the light. I've done many of those, and I write about those in my book. And I know I've talked about it on your show before, so I won't go into that again. But you work with those characters, and if they need help, my guides are like bouncers, they're like gatekeepers on the other side. They'll go through and help them. And they've helped many over the years, and it's a very rewarding, actually. And it's not like I go in and say, you need help. I wait until they say they need help. And they'll call out to me and say, I need help, help me, where am I? Because they see the light. And I've had that happen time and time and time again.
Shankar Singham, our guest, Haunting the Dead Realm, A Testimony and Guide to Capturing the Other Side, available on Amazon.com. Karen A. Dahlman, our guest as well, the spirit of creativity and author of The Spirits of Ouija. You can find more information at her website, and she has special discounts on her book. Save 25% off. They've already been pre-priced for you on the site. All you need to do is go there and order the books. You'll save, and she's got that special price open for 24 hours from the beginning of tonight's show. So go check it out at KarenADahlman.com. There'll be a link for it up on our website at DarknessRadio.com under the Guests tab. Stay tuned. More Darkness Radio continues right after this. Darkness Radio is on the air tonight, Hunting the Dead Realm. Our guests are Mr. Shankar Singham and Karen A. Dahlman. You talk about hunting the dead realm. Hearing what Karen has to say, that we don't really die, we just move on to the next evolution of what life is. Do you believe that these are energies, Shankar, prior to coming to life? In between our life and the next position, or where do you believe that you're actually communicating with?
Well, yeah, I mean, people, souls don't die. People don't die. Your bodies will die and decay, but you as a person, me, what makes us living never dies and continues on and on beyond this, you know, this realm onto the next and even onto 100 other realms. And they are always connected to this realm. And what we're trying to do is just try to bridge that gap of communication. I mean, it's hard. It's not like talking to someone on your iPhone. It's never going to be that clear. And you've heard EVPs before. They're always really, really soft. So, I mean, we got to somehow hone spirit energy from another realm to somehow try and manifest itself into current equipment that we have, if you follow me, if that makes any sense.
Sure. I'm just curious, when we discern between these beings that we communicate with, how it is that we understand where life begins and ends, I guess, Karen. You know, I mean, where does the reality of consciousness begin? Is it prior to coming to the body? Is it prior to being born into this world? Does consciousness ignite when it's in the womb? And not turning this into an abortion talk, so that's not where I want to go with this, but I mean, where does exactly life and consciousness come together to start to create something that can intelligently communicate with us on this side?
You know, you're bringing up a very hot topic here, which is quite loaded, the question you asked. There's so many different levels I can go with this and answer you. I'm going to try to be more succinct and keep it at maybe a lower frequency level. Just kidding. I'll keep it a little more calm in words. Okay, so consciousness in itself always exists. It's all connected. But when you move, okay, to communicate what we can understand, that's just a small frequency. I mean, let me give you an example. We can see color, but we can only see a portion of the spectrum, a small portion of the spectrum, yet those colors exist. So for us to be able to communicate in a sentient manner with our sentient being that we consider sentient, we're kind of wrong. Because I can tell you, I talk to my animals. You can talk to many different levels of living life. Mediums do it all the time. I'm doing it with the board. People do it all the time. They may do it in their dreams. They may do it through their inner abilities. You know, people are born with that gift. So it's not really saying we all have to communicate like we communicate. What happens is we communicate on different levels of vibrations and frequencies. We can't see them all. We can't hear them all. We can't touch them all. We can't smell. We can't. With our senses, we can't. But if we go outside of our senses, and this is where it gets kind of weird, and I'm still trying to keep it even keel so people can understand me. If we go into our feeling centers, this is what I've learned now doing this work, into our body, into our heart space, I guess that's metaphoric, but that's also they call it the second brain, actually. They call it the heart the second brain. So we go into that place of ourself, that center part, and we learn to start feeling. As you start to learn to feel, then you start to experience these other realms. And it's kind of trippy. It's kind of strange because we're not used to it. And that's where communication happens. And this is where I find the best forms and types of communication. When I said that, I mean intelligent. You can understand it, becomes clear. It's not just whispers. It's not just gibberish. And this is how I use the board, by going into that space. Once I peered that healing center of my space with using the board, which is no different than what a medium does, no different than what I would do without the board, the communication is crazy, over the top, and astonishing for those reasons.
We've got about a minute left in this segment before we roll into the next. We're going to begin launching into a new creation, Ouija 2.0, kind of a new tool that you've put together, Shankar. And where did you get the inspiration to kind of up the ante and take it to a new level in communication?
Well, yeah, actually, you know, me and Carrie developed it. You know, I figured that the Ouija was such an older tool that it just needed to be revamped. And why not meld, you know, new technology with old technology and come up with a device that works in the old school way, but yet can verify in the new school way, such as the Ouija will work with messages, but when we ask them to, can you manipulate our K2? Can they do that or not? Yes or no? I mean, that was the ultimate question. And at first it said no. And after building a relationship, it said yes. But the K2 would not light up. And it took a long time before, they figured out how to work it. I think the ultimate tool is to mix old school and new school ways of spirit communication together. I mean, we live in the new age right now. Why not do that? And, most of the teams out there are using the top-of-the-line equipment. They've got IR cams and thermo cams and this and that. But, you're trying to catch a car accident the minute it happens.
We'll be back. We're going to continue our journey after the top of the hour news, hunting the dead realm, a testimony and guide to capturing the other side. Our guest is Sean Kerr-Singham, Kerry Isaacs, and the very talented and well-spoken Karen Dahlman. Stay tuned. More Darkness Radio continues right after this.